Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we humbly bow down and are just grateful as we think of your mercies and your kindness extended to this nation, to us, compared to where we were a week ago, and watching you work in Israel. And it's just your blessings, Lord, and we didn't deserve the election the way you gave it to us, because we have sinned and we're continuing to sin. But Lord, I know some of your people cried out, and I know you heard those prayers, but we just want to thank you. We just want to praise you for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your grace, which just never ends. We are so unworthy. And yet every single one of your children, you have blessed us beyond understanding. We can't even comprehend what you've done for us. But we know it's good. And what we can understand of it, we know it is unbelievably good. So, Lord, may we honor you this morning with our hearts and with our lips even and with our whole being, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. Lead us now as we open your word and can be fed again from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, working our way through Proverbs here a little bit, and in chapter 6 today, and you remember last time we said the chapters 5, 6, and 7 were all given over really to the distraction of adultery, the distraction of the lust of the flesh, and the timeless problem with us and our sexual desires and worshiping the procreation really in a way, but yet in such a twisted way in our society, and how we've gone so far into that right now. But we know we're talking about a book of wisdom, and we know we're talking about a book of your justice and your fairness, and no one would argue that a life lived by your wisdom is better than a life not lived by your wisdom. We could all agree on that. So may we listen to you this morning as you speak to us through chapter 6, and we have several different little sections here. The first five verses are about dangerous promises we make, and we shouldn't be making these promises, and then the folly of indolence or of laziness. There's a few verses on that, and then we have another little section on the wicked man, and then finally we close with the bulk of this chapter again on beware of adultery. And so that's the subject of this particular portion of Proverbs. And verse 1 begins, my son, or you could say my children, my daughters and son. And of course, we can think of Rehoboam and Jeroboam and others of Solomon's sons. And I keep needing to remind myself, this is the Spirit speaking, it's not Solomon speaking. Solomon is a pretty miserable example for adultery, I would think. He would probably be the last one I would want to be following his advice. But we're speaking about wisdom here from the Spirit. And he says that if you become surety for your friend, surety is another word for guarantor or co-signer on a debt for your friend, you shouldn't do that, especially if you don't have the means of doing it, if you have to step up and do it. Now, if it's not a big deal and you want to help somebody, that's fine. But another test we need to make here in all these kinds of things, are we enabling that person or are we helping that person? And how many times do we hear a person's story and it's so sad and we just feel so touched by it, we just want to pray that they get out of that terrible condition they're in. And then sometimes you may get the Spirit speaking to you saying, this is what I put them through, but I'm putting them right through right now to turn to you, and you want to pray against it. So if the Spirit is telling you to pray for that, then go for it. But if he's not, don't let your opinion and your compassion from the flesh, and we'll see some examples of God's firmness here as we go through this particular study. But if you have shaken hands in pledge to a stranger, so in the old days you didn't need written contracts, really up until about the turn of this century, we didn't even have much in the form of written contracts. It was all the shake of a hand. Your word is all I need. And think how today now we've got banks of attorneys on both sides of every contract, and how helpful is, I'm not talking about the attorneys, but when we reduce it down to, I got to do what the word says and I don't want to do one step more than that for anybody, it's a very lean, miserable way to live, isn't it? So if you have shaken hands with a pledge and a stranger, you're snared by the words of your mouth. So this is something that you've allowed yourself to get into. So be careful on what you promise. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. So think about this now. You've gotten into a mess here. You've done something you know you shouldn't have done. So here's the remedy. Go sit down with that person and humble yourself and plead with them. Beg with them. And this is very serious here. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. So you will notice even in the animal kingdom, a gazelle will gingerly walk backward from a trap, and a bird will also be wary and not going into it. And so this is the picture here. If you have, don't make dangerous promises. If you do, do everything you can to get them reversed. Then we have the folly of laziness here. So we go back to the ant. It's interesting how often the ant is used as a sign of hard working. And if you've ever watched ants, you know how true that is. So go to the ant, you sluggard. Now, sluggard is an interesting word. Of course, a slug, what is a slug? A slug is a slimy, slow-moving animal, isn't it? So now here, guard, that means that's that type of what you are. So are you a slimy, slow-moving? No, go to the ant. Be hardworking and be not slimy and sluggardly. Consider her ways and be wise. Wow. How big do you think the brain of an ant is? It's not very big, is it? How can they be so smart and we got a great big brain and we're so not really using it, huh? But consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler. Now, ants don't need, they have no king over them. They have no overseer over them. And look how hard they work. Now, we're almost the opposite. We don't work unless the overseer is watching. Then if the overseer is watching, we'll do a little bit more, at least not enough. We're doing enough so we're passing the test, so to speak. But not so the ants. The ants are doing all of this work without any overseer, captain, or ruler. And she knows when to work, provides her supplies in the summer when there's food, gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Going back to that again. So here's the lazy person living like a sluggard. When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber. Now this is getting kind of tight for me because I'm taking more and more naps these days. I don't know. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. We'll come across, as we go through this study today, reminds me of Thessalonians, where these were believers, or really Apostle Paul is speaking to, and it gets pretty simple about working. He says, he who does not work, let him not eat. So I think we need to distinguish between cannot work and will not work. There are people who cannot work. But for everyone who cannot work, there's scores who will not work. And of course, when you tolerate that and promote that in a culture, you get really a bad situation, don't you? We move on now to the wicked man. There's a few verses here just about wickedness, a description of a wicked man. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth or with a brash, loud mouth. He winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his finger. This typically would describe a con man or somebody who's trying to just exert his wickedness in getting what he wants. Perversity is in his heart. How much perversity is in my heart? That is something that we don't want. That's worse than cancer. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. Now we're getting a heads up for what's coming here in these next few verses here, very familiar verses to us. He devises evil continually. That's one of the six things or seven things we'll see God hates. He sows discord. That's the last. That's the seventh thing that we'll see that God hates. This is the perverse, wicked man. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Now, just to summarize it, and these are the four verses I mentioned you know well, very well known in the book of Proverbs. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to him. So there's no question as to what that verse means, is it? Seven things that the Lord hates. They're an abomination to him. So we should listen up. The first is pride, a proud look, a proud look. Well, knowing that that's such an abomination to the Lord, why do I have so much trouble with that? You know, is kind of a question, I guess. But he hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. Oh, Lord, help me. A proud look and a lying tongue. I'm guilty of both of those too often. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. I look at that every time I see anything relative to abortion, shedding innocent blood. But I was so glad to see in this election that abortion was not that big an issue. It was down the list pretty far behind the economy, behind the borders. And although the Democrats were running it a big deal as they were for abortion, it didn't go too well for them. So I'm glad to see that. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. What are you planning in your heart? May it not be devising wicked plans. God hates that. And then feet that are swift in running to evil. Isn't it amazing how we'll see some evil and it kind of gets our attention and we know, you know, we kind of have part of us want to run to it. We want to see more about what is that evil. If I could just understand what that all is about, maybe. No, don't let your heart or thoughts or feet run to evil. And then truth, a false witness who speaks lies, hates that, hates that, hates that. Now, most sins in another person, I don't have maybe that much trouble forgiving, but the sin of lying, that's another whole matter. The sin of lying, yes, you forgive everything in one way, except that's it's a breaking in the trust and so forth, and that's permanent, isn't it? Let's say a marriage, if you have a marriage that you have this perfect trust built upon, and then you get lies coming into that marriage, that's a permanent stain that will not easily, actually, I don't know, it's hard to remove that, really. Lies, he hates lies. A false witness who speaks lies. And when we have that in our court system, that's the end of our judicial system, because if a person is just going to lie, then you aren't going to get any justice out of that thing. And then finally, the one who sows discord among his brethren. So, am I more of a peacemaker or a discord maker? So those are the seven, and so if you have any questions on that, ask the Lord, how am I doing in these seven things? Do I really see the fact that they're an abomination to you? And now we'll do the rest of the chapter here, back to adultery again. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. I think you could first say bind them, the them. What is the them? I think it's the word of God. My son, follow the word of God from father or your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Notice, not about your there, not about your hand, not about your leg, not about your elbow. It's in your heart. Where is the word of God binding? Where are you keeping it close? I hope you're keeping it in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. We can think of Psalm 105, 119, 105, can't we? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Is your life really being led by the word of God? To keep you from the evil woman, back to the snare of the evil woman keeps coming up, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Same picture we had last week, really. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. You know, now in much of the culture, where they go around with the burqa or wherever it is, the only thing you can see in the woman is her eyes. And so the Egyptians, for example, were known for the women really making up their eyes, their eyelids, their eyebrows and all, and very seductive. So they are used to allure you. So it says, keep yourself from that. Flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in her eye, in her heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids, for by the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Wow. Not just bread, to a crust of bread. An adulteress will stalk or prey upon his precious life, usually for money, and when they're done, they've got all the money they can get out of it. And that's the situation we have here, it looks to me like. So here's the questions then. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? No. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? No. So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whatever touches her shall not be innocent. Now, under the law, under the Mosaic law, this would be a capital offense. There's no forgiveness for the adultery. They would be taken out and stoned to death. Verse 30, people do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet, listen to this, yet when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. Now that's where we totally have that turned around in our culture. We feel sorry for the hungry. And if they would steal, we would say, oh, you have to understand, they were starving to death. We can't persecute them for that. Now it's good to have compassion, but we see the justice in the Lord here. When he is found out, he's got to pay for stealing. Stealing is not right. You can't just say, well, in this case, it's okay to steal. No, it's not okay to steal. So he's got to pay it back seven times. That's a pretty big penalty, isn't it? He may have to give up all the substance of his house. So how much theft do you think you're going to have under that condition? You're not going to have much, are you? Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Yeah, we'd agree with that. He who does so destroys his own soul. Now, that's a big verse. He who does so destroys his own soul. That means that every time adultery is committed, God knows. And unless that is taken care of by forgiveness and turning from it, they are destroying their own soul. Heavy duty. So that's quite another level over stealing food when you're starving to death in terms of consequences there. 33, wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will accept no recompense. So when you have adultery, that's sex outside of marriage, and that means you have two other people involved in a big way. You have the one you're involved with, and also that one's spouse, and that's a serious, serious thing. Because at that point, you're never going to satisfy the vengeance of the person who you really hurt, the husband of the wife or whatever it is. He will not spare in the day of vengeance, nor will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. So if you do that, you've really torn it, and there's nothing you can do to really restore it, really, at least easily. So we see the adultery here, once again, is such a serious, serious thing. So, you know, as I mentioned last week, sometimes in the Psalms, we would end up with really great conviction, and then we'd have a great uplift of the spirit and finish on a very high note. And the Proverbs just kind of lays it out there, doesn't it? Now, we do know of his grace and his mercy, and we know of the provision that we have through Jesus Christ, that he died for all sin. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not like we're without hope. We have all the hope in the world. But kind of when we look at Proverbs, we see in a little more what we deserve, don't we? And we see just these seven things he hates, how we have a little of that in us in too many cases. If you take a look very carefully, I think, at Jesus' mock trials and all at his time of his crucifixion, every one of these seven things was violated in a big way. And so it's not a good result, is it? Well, Father, we thank you for your wisdom that you give us in your word. We thank you for the clear teaching. Lord, these are not, most of the Proverbs are not gray, they're black and white, and we know what they mean. May we not be making excuses, and may we learn from them and clean up our acts where they need to be cleaned up continually. And may we just want to please you, want to love you more and to love one another more. If we really love others, we will not be doing any of these things we've talked about today to them. We wouldn't think about our own desires that would cause so much damage if we thought it through to do some of the things that we do and have done. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lead us now as we would spend time this morning in bringing things to you that you would put on our hearts, praise, thanksgiving, requests, and whatever you would have us to pray, may we respond in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Now go with us, and may we be the witness for you today. I don't know how many more days we have, but apparently you've given us today, at least this morning. Amen. Bless each one because they came. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.